And joining me now in the KRVS studios are Kate Durio, who is the Chief Cultural Officer for CREATE. It is part of the Mayor President's Office, the Lafayette Cultural Economy Initiative, and also artist Michelle Colon, here to talk about a really special part of CREATE. And we'll kind of work our way to how she and so many other artists have fit in and helped out with the CREATE initiative. We're going to start off with your vision for CREATE, because I think many people in our community have seen that word, heard people say it. It's out there. It's you've partnered with various initiatives in town, and so we've heard the word a lot. But let's go back to the vision for CREATE, why it was created, and what you all had in mind to enrich our community.
Yeah, so CREATE was established in 2017, was announced, and really it's sort of learning from some proven track record in Lafayette of what do we do when we're in a down economy, which is what we faced in 15 and 16, leading the country in job losses. And we looked back at the what we did in the 80s, for instance, which was our last big economic downturn. And we found that everything from the symphony to the Festival International, Downtown Development, Downtown Alive, we, in those times, we invested what little resources we had into our culture. And because of that, we're still enjoying the economic benefits to the millions of dollars from a single event like Festival International. And we thought, well, if we could do that in the 80s, what could we do now, knowing what we know, and how could we? What more could we do, and how more could we grow it if we had a little bit more investment and a strategy? So these things sort of happened outside of government, and that's a big question: what's the role of government in this? And government has everything to gain from a booming cultural economy. I mean, it's more tax revenue, it's more hotel occupancy taxes, it's more revenue that we don't have to fund ourselves, right? We can just attract it to our community. And so it was really based on that theory, that proven theory, that by reinvesting in ourselves as a quality of life, as a thing that reinvests in our residents, the thing that people are so proud of in Lafayette, that we can actually build more community wealth to do the things we, need to do, like drainage and roads and bridges and infrastructure. And so it was really about investing in ourselves to grow and diversify our economy and create more jobs.
It's really interesting to hear you bring it back to the 80s. Just mentioning the various organizations, cultural organizations that got their start in the mid 80s. Mariusz Smoly was just in here yesterday talking about the 35th anniversary of the symphony. I think one thing people, as you talk about that, I can imagine a lot of people out there thinking, well, that wasn't really a concerted, planned effort. It just sort of like organically came out of this very culturally rich community filled with artists, musical artists, theater artists, writers who were already here working, but who were impacted by that downturn in the economy. And not only the artists, but other people in town whose names we still all know and admire worked with those artists to create the organizations that you're mentioning right there. So it was, but it's also interesting to say we wanted to take what we've learned from that. So we know a lot of that happened out of sheer creativity and an organic need, but we have learned so much from that over time. And as you say, can perhaps put that to good use now and help. There is a role for government in helping and offering the resources. I guess one thing people would like to understand is what it was interesting when I was reading about it and some of the material you sent. You've talked about economy and what you just said, and you've talked about creativity and quality of life. But the CREATE initiative kind of fits somewhere in the middle of that. You're not really just an economic driver, and you're not a tourism bureau. You're not just trying to attract visitors. A lot of it is about creating community and loving to live here. So that's an interesting place to be between those two.
Yeah, and it's really a gap that we haven't had filled for several decades, really. I mean, the Lafayette Travel Office does an amazing job at, you know, really selling our brand around the world and bringing people to Lafayette. And LEDA does a really great job of attracting new businesses and workforce. But there was something that fell short in sort of the real depth and breadth of what we were able to offer as a community. We were always bringing people during festival. You know, there's a reason LEDA has a suite during festival, and it's because that was sort of the lifestyle that we were selling. And so, but LEDA on its own, LCVC on its own, can't create that 365 days a year. And that's really the difference where Create comes in, because we know, or at least we in the Create office know, that if we're focusing less on the temporary, the, you know, part-time stuff, that we do really well in Lafayette. And that was really the model of the 80s. What can we do differently that is more focused on a 365 cultural day a year cultural economy?
For people who live here.
For people who live here. Mm-hmm. And then we know that if I love living here and you love living here, that you're going to tell everybody that you know how much you love living in Lafayette. And so that's going to do way more than recruiting or a marketing campaign or a tourism campaign. And it really sort of puts them our money where our mouth is. We have an amazing brand internationally. People know Lafayette. But when they get here, what is that experience like,
what
both as a visitor and a resident? Mm-hmm. And we think that our goal is focusing in on the residents as people who have already invested here. They've decided to raise their families here, businesses that are hiring our people and they're raising their families here. We need to focus on those people, and that's how we're going to create a bigger, a better community.
Right. And what an interesting time to do it 30 to 35 years after that just miraculous period, really, that created all of these organizations and festivals for all of us that we're still enjoying today. But some things do have kind of a natural life, and they need sort of a recreation, or they need other organizations that will bring more life and add more to experience. We're also a much bigger community than we were back then, and so there does need to be more. So this is a good time to be considering what you're talking about. But then how do you go about it? You know, how do you, in some ways you think, well, I could just wave a magic wand of culture, you know, and those would miraculously happen. But you're talking about doing something a little bit more focused, and again, using what you've learned from those other organizations. So how did you go about creating Create? What was going to be the mechanism for finding out what's the next step? What can we do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge nebulous. In a lot of ways, we're truly blessed and way more fortunate than a lot of other communities. We know who we are. We have a brand. We, you know, we, our culture really is our brand. So we didn't have to do a lot of work in there. But the big challenge and the big work, and kind of the unsexy work, to be quite honest, is how do you discover the people and the things and the efforts that have either been carrying the torch for 30 years with, you know, no support or help, or how do you discover the new and emerging
who want to carry a torch?
Mm-hmm. And you know, and in a way sort of provide some way of a conduit for those new and upcoming agencies, organizations, artists individually, to feel as much of a part of this community as the Symphony is, as Festival International is. And it was, it's because those people, those were unknowns in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And so how do we use the institutional knowledge of those existing entities and artists, our Roddy Romeros and our Zachary Richards, and let them put a hand down to the person coming up from behind them? And what's our role in providing that infrastructure to support them? And so it's a huge nebulous. We talk about that. And yeah, how do you begin to even do that? And so we started really on an individual basis. And quickly we determined that we didn't have a lack of things in Lafayette. We had a lack of awareness of things in Lafayette. Mm-hmm. And also we are so saturated. And so the first real task that we put on our list was establishing a thorough asset inventory portal of every person, place, or thing that touches or breathes culture and recreation as a starting place. And we immediately recognized that, and we started looking around at other communities, the state of Texas, the city of Austin, Nashville, Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, a bunch of different places around the country. And we found, by and large, that most communities just had some sort of Excel spreadsheet that existed on some government website. And for them, the government created it because they wanted to be able to track that data, but it wasn't creating a community around that. And there really wasn't a benefit to being in there. And so we thought we could this, you know, it's very Lafayette to feel part of something. And so we thought we could do that through some sort of digital platform that united our creatives, gave them a platform to not only create more awareness about themselves and promote themselves, but also find collaborators, express themselves in new ways because now they have more partners to do so. Mm-hmm. And so we applied for a grant with the National Endowment for the Arts, and we got the grant. And in my notes from our grant administrator, she said, you know, the reason you got this was because we felt like this was replicable everywhere, and we're tired of these outdated spreadsheets, and we think that it's time that this sort of business model of a CRM caught up with the arts world, and we're excited to see how that works with that utilization. And so we're in the process of that, and that's going to actually launch before the end of the year.
All right, so you need a sandbox, don't you?
Yeah.
You need an artistic sandbox to show how this can happen, how you can create this community platform, because we are living in a different time. We have so many technological advances from the 80s and tools that you can use to unite people together. So you talk about it as an asset portal, which seems a little science fiction-y, yeah. but it actually has to do with real people like Michelle, who is an artist in our community, works on many different platforms. You sing, you act, you do a lot that really enriches the community. So you're part of a group of fellows that Create has put together. How did you get involved in this group of fellows? Were you invited? Was this something you had heard about?
Kate approached me directly about potentially. So Kate approached me directly about joining and leading this group of fellows. And she explained to me what this asset inventory would be. And at first it was very overwhelming because, as you mentioned, at least in Lafayette, I'm involved in the theater community, the music community, the dance community, and the film community. And so I was like, this sounds like a really hefty project, very ambitious. But she explained that she really wanted to ensure that her communication with these industries was very effective. And because I was involved in, four out of the six categories, the other categories being food and
visual arts.
And arts, yeah. Mm-hmm. That I would be a good person to manage the other 12 fellows. And so it ended up being she hand chose two fellows per category. And I knew most of them. And the reason that they were chosen was because they were already working artists within that field. So the program was designed to get these fellows to bring us names that they knew, bring their communities, and for them to also speak for Create, because it's not the same as Kate, who does not do theater, to go into the theater community and be like, hey, the government wants to help you. We've all heard that before, you know? Now it's different when I or the two fellows that were in representing the theater community go to the theater community and say, hey, the government is interested in supporting our community. Can you please meet at this community discussion so that you can find out how to access that help? So that was the effect of having those 12 fellows. So those fellows had that their responsibilities were actually not that much. They were communicating with their industries. They were providing us names of people. Like if they invited people and they couldn't come, they could also be a part of the conversation. And basically, So that's like in a nutshell what we did.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to just getting names, you all were meeting, you were discussing, were filling out this vision that Kate and Create had, that you were really allowing her to see how does this work when we get artists together? What happens? What kind of connections can we make? And this was a part of the grant. The grant allowed you all to have these fellows.
Yeah, well, knowing knowing that the asset inventory was only as good as the data we had, we felt like it was a bigger job than I could fill up myself. So the fellows really were – the beginning of that was so that they could populate for their own industries. And so when we – that was sort of the genesis of the fellowship program. And so it was about bringing as many people to the table as we could and really making CREATE represented by the people in that community. You know, I'm essentially a project manager for all of this. And it was, I don't know what's best for the theater community. I need people from the theater community to tell me how to support them. And so, you know, no guarantee that they would get, you know, funded or whatever, but definitely to have guidance of how do we start to take bites of this giant elephant.
So how did it start to look when you gathered the fellows together, when the fellows started bringing in names and other people? How did you start thinking about how to use this portal? What did that start to look like to you? How you would enter? What kinds of information did you want to enter? And how did you begin to hope that people might use that?
I think at least the thing that was the most enticing was that – so a lot of us are artists on multiple capacities. So it's very difficult for me to have a website for every single thing I do. But knowing that I would have a platform that I could submit my samples of work and it would be legitimized by it being a government link, that was already an incentive that I think most people were very attracted to. And not only that, in this – so everybody has a profile once they submit their name and their information. And in this profile, you have tools such as a contract and a W-9, which, you know, I've been performing for 6 years now, and I was still stumbling on that roadblock. You know, I want the gig, I get the gig, but then I have to face all this paperwork. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been spending all my time just planning the gig, you know. But to know that that's all available and that that won't be a roadblock anymore was also a thing that was enticing to most people in the community, because it also made them feel like they could have a chance of being more taken more seriously and making them more legitimate. And in general, what I saw in all the meetings is that that already raised the bar. It made everybody feel like now they needed to collect these things in order to become the artist in the community that they wanted to be. And if, you know, when we think about it, if everybody in Lafayette had a contract, if everybody in Lafayette had these tools, the whole community already looks above and beyond. You know, it looks a little more legitimate and stronger and more stable.
Right. And it feels like it could be far more collaborative, too.
Right.
Where you would have a place to go where you could find, say, you aren't connected to the theater community, but you want to do some project that uses theater people. And this would make it so much easier to contact them. And everybody would have the same understanding of what kinds of paperwork you need, what kinds of professional, assets that you need.
It actually ends up, without really intending it to be that way, but it ends up being a little bit of a professional development workshop, just
which
by you
so many
submitting.
Artists do need.
Absolutely, just by you submitting your name and becoming a part of this. So that's super valuable.
Okay, so for people who are tuning in right now, we're talking about CREATE. My guest, Kate Durio, is the Chief Cultural Officer for the Lafayette Cultural Economy Initiative through the Mayor President's Office. Michelle Colon is part of a group of artists, fellows, who have been gathered by CREATE to create this portal, this artist portal that will do quite a number of things. It's multi-platformed, helping people with professional development, with connections, with collaborations, and all going towards this vision that Kate was expressing earlier about making this a better place to live, a place because we all think Lafayette is the best place to live in the world. And so many people are drawn here because people are friendly. There's so much art. There's so much music. But you want to keep that going. We are riding on a number of organizations that began 30, 35 years ago. And you want to ensure that young artists like Michelle and even younger ones coming out of college now who want to live in this community have a means to do so. So after observing Michelle and the various fellows who have been a part of this initiative, how are you thinking about the portal? How are you feeling about this portal, Kate?
I actually feel like I'm encouraged because what I sort of had a hunch would be really helpful. For me, the portal was about we had to understand what we had before so we could know what we wanted.
Or what we needed.
Yeah, or what mm-hmm. we needed. It's very easy to get distracted by the shiny new thing. But when we really dust off what we already have, we have some amazing things happening in this community. And so I've been encouraged by the fellows' reaction to this to say, yes, I can benefit from this portal. Yes, I can benefit from some of the other things that, you know, at least I thought CREATE should be focusing on. So now we're at a point where we have all these great people at the table. There can always be more people at the table. And this is sort of us trying our best to provide as many conduits as we can to CREATE out there in the community to bring as many people as we can to the table. But there's a second side of this portal that I think is really interesting that we've never had in Lafayette before. And it's really starting to try to quantify the unquantifiable about arts and culture and recreation. And so the portal is built on a Salesforce platform, which we went that direction for a lot of reasons. One, I want this to outlive me. So it needed to be something that wasn't completely written from scratch, that would have regular updates and tech support and all this ongoing. But the other thing is there were a lot of features out of the box that I thought, this will be cool to see how artists use this. And Salesforce actually as a brand is like, no one's ever used our software for arts and how cool. And so I'm really curious to see how they can you can talk to each other in the portal. But one thing I'm really excited about is that there's actually a mapping layer to this portal. And so now we will be able to actually have a map of where all this culture and recreation clustering is happening. And why that's exciting is because we know that culture is our second largest economy and they've been generating all this wealth for us. But now we'll actually have proof of why we need to reinvest in those areas that are building so much community wealth. So there's an equity and a social responsibility case to be made through this portal too.
Well, we're going to have you back. People can go now. I believe there's a CREATE website and find out more about it. My guest, Kate Durio, is the Chief Cultural Officer. Michelle Colon, an artist who's been involved in this fellows program, creating this asset portal. Incredible vision, again, for this, for our community, and really hope that we'll continue creating these amazing organizations, like you mentioned, that got started a number of decades ago. Check out the CREATE website. You can find out more, and we'll have you back. I guess the portal is going to go live
Before the end of the year, but the really year. Important, you can get in the portal now.
Now. Okay, and is that through
website.
The CREATE website?
Yep, you can submit yourself.
Okay. Yep. So check that portal out. Become a part of this amazing experiment that will really make Lafayette an even better place to live. Hard to believe that. But thank you so much, Michelle Colon and Kate Durio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judith.
Bonjour and hello. Listen to the Franco Mix at 9 p.m. on Thursdays with Drake Benoit LeBlanc, exclusively on KRVS 88.7. Et c'est formidable.
Later today on This American Life, in seventh grade, Domingo and his mom and dad were all on the highway near the U.S.-Mexican border in separate cars doing something they had never done before, and it was not going well.
Oh God, my mother says. I had never heard her voice so charged with fear. She grabs the knob that controls the headlights and flashes at Dad.
Smuggling marijuana with your parents later today.
Tonight at 7 on KRVS.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and on the web at krvs.org. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public